things we learn at, we are taking these things outside of school and we're like putting our hands on it. So we learn math, but how can we learn math to like make a really strong structure? How can we learn about, you know, animal adaptations? Can we see those in play? Just taking it, like the difference in location just makes such a big difference. And it's really about the hands-on learning. Every single thing that we do is oriented around getting our hands, maybe not dirty, but like involved in what we're doing. So we're digging through the mud looking for creatures, where the children are the ones building our geodome structures that they're climbing on. They're building the rope bridges, they're building the fires. It's not only like just the skill building, but it's also empowerment. It's things that maybe they didn't think they were able to do, or things they might want to do. We are located in Charlton, Massachusetts. That is the only place that Nature's Classroom Incorporated is operating out of today. We have a pretty diverse teaching staff. They're all background checked, and they all have at least a bachelor's degree, or are working towards it in some way. Some people have their master's degree. They come from all over. We have former Army Rangers and world travelers. We've got people that come from an education background, art background, science, college professors. Lots of different people find their way to Nature's Classroom, but they've all got some unique perspective. We do sometimes have international staff. So we right now have a staff member that was originally from France. Last season we had staff that came from Albania and Kenya. So that's the kind of a cool opportunity too, is just for students to meet people that are adults outside of maybe their normal people that they talk to. When they get there, they're going to unpack. They're going to carry everything that they packed with them to their cabin. So they literally are going to form a line and like carry the things they pack. So we don't want to overpack. And I'll talk more about packing a little bit later in this presentation. They're not going to be staying outside, although we might teach them to build a shelter at Pondside, where if you have a student that is staying overnight, I know not every single student is. You will be staying in one of these two buildings. The center is our dining hall as well as housing. And then the lodge is just a separate housing area that is not connected to the dining hall. Both of these housing situations are communal, so or have communal bathrooms. So there's two wings on in both of these buildings. They each have a hallway of rooms that most rooms hold up to four students. Some are just two, and then there's a couple chaperone rooms with ensuite bathrooms. So there is like a communal bathroom with showered stalled showers and toilet stalls and a couple sinks at the end of each hallway. But then there's those ensuite bathrooms if there were any concerns about anybody that needed privacy. Additionally, what was I gonna say? So it's kind of like a hotel, but without the bedding and the sheets. So you need to, when you're packing, you have to think about, does your student want a sleeping bag and a pillow, or people bring sheets and a comforter and the whole set? That happens too. Whatever is gonna be more comfortable, but also not too much for them to carry. Because like I said, we do carry it a little bit of a ways. We talk about how to keep our room clean, the best way to manage having a roommate, because most students haven't had three roommates before. So that is a big part of what we do, is like communal living. How can you be respectful of other people's space and time? You know, it's, we're kind of getting back into the swing of like sharing space with people in a close way. So that's something that not everybody has learned yet. We've got indoor spaces in case it rains. We've got beautiful outdoor spaces by the pond. So you're going to a beautiful pond side. It is lovely. We have quiet sitting every night, which that is a picture at the bottom of the screen. I'll get more into that later. But our facility is great in Charlton. We've got, I think, 900 acres, if I'm remembering correctly, and miles of trails, and it's our private property, so it's quite nice. We get to do just lots of you'd think that it would be nice and peaceful, but it's definitely the loudest section of forest in the whole block, I would say. It's private, but everyone stays away because we make lots of noise. So that's what you're also seeing here. We do provide 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then a snack before bedtime. We do dessert at the end of the day after dinner, something like cookies, Oreos, a cupcake, ice cream sandwiches, something not too crazy. We have fun in the dining hall. Part of our program is that we educate students about where their food comes from. How did it get delivered to Nature's classroom? Where does it go when we don't eat it? And just things like that. We talk about electricity, water, all those things that get our food towards us and just related to energy, since that's when we're energizing ourselves. We are a nut-free facility. We just don't do nuts at all. But if you have certain like allergy concerns or dietary restrictions, we are pretty familiar with working around those. Dairy-free, egg-free, gluten-free, we see those all the time. If you have a student that has like really particular needs, I would say you can email me privately, caitlin@naturesclassroom.org, and I'll put that somewhere visible soon. But I would just say email me privately because we all the time have students bring their own food if they're really concerned about any like high concern allergies. That's something that we can do. We do, and we have really choice-based meals. So we have a hot lunch or like a hot meal at every meal time. So breakfast, it's like pancakes, waffles, sausage or bacon, some combination of these things, eggs. And then there's also a cereal bar with yogurt and fruit on the side. So if students kind of get a choice there. Lunch and dinner, instead of a fruit bar, cereal bar, it's a salad bar. So there's veggies, there's yogurt, there's soup. There's lots of little things to choose. There's leftovers from other meals earlier that week. So kids get a lot of choice. And so we do usually end up seeing like even kids that are hesitant about what they're going to be able to eat there. We usually figure something out. And also it's fun. They get to try being a waitron. They get to try like taking care of their table, and we eat family style. So all the students share, pass the plate around, help clear the plates at the end of the meal and everything like that. And it's fun to learn table manners and hang out with each other, not on our phones. It's awesome. Medical staff. We
I did it.
have a designated medical staff. This might be a nurse. It might be just a designated person who is a first aid, at least first aid certified, that will be worked out before you arrive here. And so you'll have more information about what type of medical staff will be on. But whoever they are, they're on 24 hours for all those like Band-Aid, stomach ache, headache, poison ivy, tooth fell out things. And then if your student takes medicine at home, we have 4 med call times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then before bed, and then any other odd times, the med staff go out and find them. So that's something we do see often. But we do have the students pack their medication separate so that we make sure we get everything, even stuff like melatonin and like vitamins. We just make sure we get, just to make sure. So a normal day in Nature's classroom, this will vary because I know one group is coming for one day and one group is coming for 3 days. So, but all of these will have some sort of field group. So field group is our earlier portion of the day. It is where students are with one of the teachers, in a ratio of 1 to 12, and they're out exploring the woods. They're learning about dynamic equilibrium. They're learning about why are the leaves changing color? Where do worms live? What's a salamander? All those things that are just like I think of like quintessential nature's classroom. Like, what's in nature? What can we learn from nature? We play games, we build fires, we play camouflage, which is just like hide and seek to another level. We go exploring the pond. There's so many pictures of the pond because it's just so lovely. We catch fish in the pond, totally catch tadpoles, turtles sometimes. We do see snakes. We don't have any venomous snakes in our part of Massachusetts, so not to worry. We have a low ropes challenge course. This is another area where students are they're pushed out of their comfort zone, but they are completely, it's their choice. It's, we call it challenge by choice. And so these students, they're doing a low, like they're using the low rope swing, but they, it's all by choice. And it's just about like, there's no competition here. It's a team building activity. They're trying to get their whole team across. But there's modifications, and we have roles and places for everybody. And it's just kind of how can we make our team work is our group project of the day or the week, however long you're staying. We do have tire swing. We have some balancing obstacles. Obviously, if this isn't right for your student, their group might avoid it and might not be something that they do, but it also might be something they do and they really enjoy. That's all I'll say. It usually ends up being a lot of fun. What else? And then in the afternoon, we get into our special interest classes. So this is the second part of the day where we've learned about nature. Now we're going to learn about something else. It might be a continuation of like learning about camouflage or learning about animal adaptations from earlier in the day, but it also might be where we start getting into these building classes. So students learning to tie ropes into a bridge that they can support themselves. This is a class called Feed Your Face. None of these classes, I'm 100% sure if they'll be taught. We just always have a rotating selection. But these are great example classes. This is a class called Feed Your Face, which is taught pretty often. And these students learned about the different chemicals that are in fruits and vegetables and why it's good for your skin and why we eat these things and how we can put them on our face. And then honestly, they look so relaxed. They're probably also learning about meditation a little bit too. So mindfulness and meditation is also a little bit of what a lot of our staff like to implement. This is a class called Hot Air Balloon. So these kids have glued together tissue paper and they're holding it over a stove and it's filling up with hot air right now and it's going to rise up and just like float away. And it's such a fun class. And I was thinking about this class recently because if we can do it at night in like a night lanterns version, and I think that would be really fun. So we're just constantly thinking of like new classes and new concepts where we're learning about physics, we're learning about angles and building structures and engineering. And we're learning about these things, but we're also using our hands. This is the geodome. This is a picture of the geodome, which I love because this structure did not exist 30 minutes before this picture was taken. Or maybe that's ambitious, maybe like an hour before this picture was taken. So this structure goes up and comes down every week. Kids as young as 9 will build it in a group of 12. And it's awesome. And they can climb on it at the end, which is a really cool feeling to build something and then be able to show your friends and be like, you can build on this. Like, you can climb on this. It's the kids feel just the sense of pride and the confidence that comes from that is really, really awesome to see from my position. We have shelter building classes, just things where they're puzzle solving or problem solving, or we do offer dissection classes. They are completely optional. No student will ever be forced to take a dissection, but even just like cutting open a sea star and just learning about what's inside in a scientific way is just, I think it builds a lot of confidence in kids and just like understanding the world just a little bit more. And so that's kind of what all our classes are, just like a deep dive into like understanding something more and using something that you learned in school in a more practical way, like in a physical way, getting yourself involved. And then at the end of the day, after dinner, we have more programs. So it's not to right to bed after dinner. We do one more thing. And so that's really going to vary. We like to spend a little bit of time getting out for the evening and listening for owls and looking at stars if students are there that late. But we also have other night activities, some where we learn about science. It's a couple of pictures of our science fair, believe it or not. Learning about what does fire need or how does electricity work or what is the surface tension going on in milk and why can we make tie-dye out of that? All sorts of things like that. Get kids thinking about the scientific method and other principles that they've thought about in school and just asking questions, getting engaged in learning. And then the other half of this slide is a picture of TNL. So one of our favorite activities is just putting together skits for each other, which is another huge team building activity at the end of the week, just kind of de-stressing. But speaking of de-stressing, at the end of every night, no matter one day or 3 days or however long you're coming, you we'll have quiet sing, which is how we end our nights. This is actually conveniently placed right before bed so that we can hand out nighttime medications in a discreet way. But also, it gives our students a day to a moment to reflect on the day, a chance to sit back, listen to music. If your student is musical and like has a guitar that they want to bring, that's something that we've had happen before. Or if they just love to sing and they just want to like, be on board with our band. We sing a couple of songs, we project the song, the lyrics up on the screen. We sit back and that's how we end every night. And it's just a nice way to end it all, I would say. And then there's one last time or one last portion we have during the day, and that's transition time. So transition time is another place where we dig into the opportunity of choice at Nature's Classroom. So this is the students' opportunity to visit the bathroom, take a break, grab a snack, refill their water in between classes and field group and all our meals and activities. So rather than like in school when they raise their hand, ask to go to the bathroom, which of course they can do if they need to, rather than have it interrupt what we're doing, we give them 30 minutes to take care of all the things that they might need so that when they come to our activities, they're ready, they're focused, they've got it. So, sorry, I'm just reading questions. Oh, yes. So packing. Great question. So we don't want to pack too much, but we do want to pack plenty. And that's always the question. But what we don't want to pack is food, candy, and gum. This is a huge one. I know you're worried that, your student's going to want to eat a lot while they're there. I promise I'm going to give them a snack. We really try and avoid food, candy, and gum because mice, honestly. There's nothing more frustrating than going to your bag and realizing that you left like crumbs in your bag and that a mouse has been in there and eaten it and had like chewed a hole through your bag and then left. And you can just tell it's a mouse because they make it obvious. That is really devastating and really demoralizing. We don't want mice in our building. We don't want mice in your kids' stuff. They tend to stay out if we don't bring things in. We don't even have that a big of a problem with bugs too much, but it's really the mice when we start bringing food in. So thank you for that. Again, we don't like to bring anything like even a Swiss Army knife, even if you've got a Boy Scout at home. Try just to avoid these things just in case they're living communally. First aid, we want to make sure that any kid that has any cut or isn't feeling good in any way sees our medical staff just so we get eyes on them. So we just discourage students, even if this like brings them their pride and joy of like bring their first aid kit. We just want to make sure, and we don't want anybody to misuse it. Electronics, please don't bring phones, don't pack them. Every single staff member at Nature's Classroom with a smartphone has a very shattered screen that looks just like this one because the outdoors Nature's Classroom, it's doesn't go with technology. So I would really advise against bringing anything that your student even really cares about, that would be fragile like this because things get broken. What do you bring then? There will be a packing list, but a couple of highlights. Your student every day, I'm going to ask them to wear their Nature's Classroom uniform, which involves long pants, even if it's really hot that week. We have ticks, we have mosquitoes, we have thorns, we have poison ivy. We've got all of those really fun things. We like to wear pants here. Also closed-toed shoes, so not like camp sandals or anything like that. They've got to go have a nice closed-toed shoe, not Crocs either. Something sturdy. It can be a sneaker. It does not have to be like a fancy specific hiking shoe at all. It can totally just be like a sneaker, a tennis shoe, anything like that. A water bottle, reusable water bottle is really, really key. They're moving around a lot. They're running around a lot. We have water cooler fillers everywhere. Like we are pushing the water, so it makes our job easier if they remember their water bottle. And then since we don't do phones, or you can bring a digital camera as long as it doesn't connect to the internet. But again, if these things break, and if that means anything to anybody, we do. So digital cameras or disposable film cameras or the Polaroid cameras, those are all fine. Those are totally fine. And then a rain jacket. Even if that week or that day when your student's getting on the bus and it says it's not gonna rain, just bring a rain jacket. It's just an awesome item to have. It's like a seat in the forest. It's rain comes out of nowhere. We're on top of a hill next to a pond. Like rain comes out of nowhere. So I just really, really recommend that. And then some sort of like bag for your student to wear. And that's how sad your student will be when they leave nature's classroom because they're gonna have such a great time. And that's the end of my presentation. That's where we hit the brakes. But if there's any questions or anything like that that I can answer right now, I would be happy to.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for that. I want to go.
I wish, right?
we did have a couple of questions in the chat. First one is a parent is wondering if there's an adult opportunity at Nature's Classroom.
We have to
So
work on that. We have to work on that, for sure.
the next one is it an all girl in bedrooms? Like, how is the bedroom set up, girls versus boys type of environment?
Yes. So our wings are usually separated by gender, boys and girls. And then if there's any like special housing needs, we can talk about that ahead of time with the school. If there's anybody that needs like special housing. But yes, typically it's all girls on one side of the wing, and then boys or students that want to house with boys on the other side. Ooh, it was really cold a few years ago. Hopefully it's not that cold. Obviously that's the wish. When it is get does get really cold that it gets to be like too dangerous, we come inside. We've got plenty of indoor spaces. Pondside is awesome where it's got like four huge classrooms right by kind of near the pond. So it's easy enough to come in. We're allowed to turn the heat on. We've got a fireplace going. We do like to stay outside as best as we can. And we've also been working on our collection of like spare outdoor clothes because a lot of times, like the biggest thing is like we bring gloves, but then the gloves get wet, or like we bring enough layers, but then they get wet and we've got to like air it out and things like that. So we're working on our spare like collection of outdoor clothes, I would say, but we don't like to be cold either, so that is what I would say. Yes, picky eaters. We see picky eaters all the time. We do have, if you have like a really picky eater, like you're really concerned, like I said, we do have parents bring or students bring their own food all the time. We keep it in the back and then just at like a normal time. So when students are act we have fruit available at all times, so apples, oranges, bananas. That's like our daily regular snack. And then in the evening I usually give out something like pretzels or goldfish, and then graham crackers, something along those lines. But again, if you're really concerned about it, like when I'm handing those things out, I can totally We can work around that and have an alternative snack for your picky eater if that's something you're worried about. Can parents volunteer to chaperone? That would be up to the school if parents can volunteer as chaperones.
Yeah, I think as of right now, we are going to be not offering it to parents and chaperones. We keep it as teachers and staff. But we will certainly keep that into consideration, when we're making plans for that.
That also, so going into the question about can you talk to your student? We usually don't recommend communicating over phones. If you were going to talk over the phone, like if you have a student that's really anxious about moving away and you think that that's something you're going to want to do, that would be through the teacher chaperones that are staying in the dorms. However, we really like to allow kids the chance to like really be away. You'd be surprised how often they remark that they didn't miss their phone and that they were surprised how fast the time went away and they didn't even notice. We have kindergartners come from the Bronx every year, and this year they asked if they could stay for 2 weeks. It was so funny. So it's just like always a surprise when students like they gain that independence. One thing that we do have parents do a lot though is write letters ahead of time. So we have a mailbox here, so we'll send mail out for students and we can receive mail here. But some people just write it ahead of time and send it like in their students' bags, or it's always awesome to get mail. We totally recommend that, having because it's cool to get snail mail. It's a different experience. student to adult ratio is always 1 to 12 when we're in small settings, and then it's a little bit higher when they are out at like their free time. It's about 1 to 20 when they're in the dorms and they're on their recess, tea time, break time.
There was one right before that, Caitlin, and I'm wondering if Mr. Hayes, I don't know if he's still on, can answer it. And it has to do with how students are put into their rooms. Do you know if they were given a choice in the past?
Yeah. So the way that works is, if I recall, and I wasn't, I've chaperoned this trip for 6 years, and I went as a student 35 years ago. So I've been here a few times. The way that the, from my recollection of it, it's been a few years, but students are in rooms of four. Typically, that's what the rooms are kind of designed for. So they will have the opportunity, each student will have the opportunity to pick three names of who they would like to be with. So, you know, Mikey wants to be with, you know, Timmy and Johnny and Bobby, you know, and then we kind of try to figure out as best as possible to accommodate at least one of their choices for a roommate. Sometimes we're able to do all three of them. That doesn't happen, I don't think, too often. Sometimes we're able to get a couple of their choices in. I know that the teachers try to at least accommodate one of the choices that the students will make. But they'll have the opportunity to submit, here's the three names of people I would like to room with, or at least room with some of these people. That's how that works. And the sixth grade teaching team gets together, puts all the information together with the requests, and kind of, it's like a big kind of puzzle they try to fit together to try to make everybody as happy as possible as far as that goes.
That's great. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And then the second part of that was just more about allergies. So, you know, knowing that this is kind of a on student kind of decision, we can definitely work with families who feel most comfortable in a certain position. It sounds like Caitlin is saying, they're very open to making sure every student is feeling comfortable in what they eat. So I think that's kind of a conversation to come on individual situations.
Yep. And I'm just throwing my email in there if anybody has like any specific food related questions. I can totally tell you what's worked in the past and all that great stuff.
That's great. So then the next one was, when is Nature's Classroom? So sixth grade, I have my dates written down. Sixth grade is going to be Tuesday through Friday. It's going to be November 14th to November 17th. And then grade seven is going to be going for one day. And that is happening on October 30th. And that will be an extended day for our seventh graders. So their dismissal will be more towards, you know, late afternoon and evening versus that 2:15 that they are used to. All right. Next one was again on how people were sleeping. So the decision will be made prior to students arriving at Nature's Classroom. We try to accommodate them, like Mr. Hayes said, as best as we can. No guarantees that you'll get all three, you know, best friends on your list, but we do try to work and make sure that students are comfortable with the people that are in their space. We do not have an exact roster right now for chaperones from, you know, sixth grade in general. We have had guidance members go in the past. We have had different grade level teachers. So really building a community around what this Nature's Classroom experience is, building the classroom community for the sixth grade students, but also for our faculty. So we want to make sure that, you know, that we're offering the experience to everybody. So we don't have a designated list right now. I'm sure that we will send it out, you know, to our community as soon as that is solidified. And then Caitlin was able to put in her email address. So if there's anything Nature's Classroom specific that you have, Caitlin is going to be a great resource for you. If it is more to do with like logistical things, then you can reach out to us at the middle school and we will help answer your questions that way. Just as Mr. Hayes said, I actually was a student at Nature's Classroom as well a lot of years ago. And It is a fantastic week. It really, really is. So if kids are on the fence, you know, have them come find myself or Mr. Hayes at the beginning of the school year. And, you know, we can try to talk them through it, but they will have adults that are familiar faces around them, students who are familiar around them, and just having these fantastic experiences that you remember for a very, very long time.
Thank you for saying such nice things about us.
I did. I literally still remember it to this day. When the balloon, the hot air balloons, I did it.
What do you know? That's awesome.
I did it. And it was fantastic. It just is a really, really great experience that you can be nervous about. And it's great. So I'm glad that our kids are getting back into that space of being able to have this experience. Will we get a list of things as they get closer? Absolutely. So I believe, Caitlin, you provide a list.
Yes, I'm updating it to make sure it's better.
Maybe some, you know, thermal underwear just in case. So yeah, they will absolutely get a list of things that they should bring. So that way you will have a packing list. It will not be the week before. So we will definitely get it to you, you know, as early as we have it, when those, you know, when you have committed to it. We will have that information for you. Oh, great question, Miss Vinya. I was just about to talk about payment. So right now we have our best payment option as checks, and I will find out who to make them out to, because I don't know if it's Nature's Classroom or Abby Kelly, but I will find that out for you. We are looking for additional online payment options, because, you know, in the world of technology, that is, you know, an easier way for a lot of us. So we are going to work to find that out. The first payment is going to be due August 29th for our sixth graders. That is a deposit of $100. And for our seventh graders, that is a deposit of $50. The entire program for our sixth graders is $314, and the entire total for our seventh graders is $96. So there is kind of that first deposit payment that you're saying I'm all in, and then there will be a few other, you know, payment stops along the way for you. Mrs. Palick is working to solidify a scholarship plan. We are looking to offer scholarships for some students. So she is looking to just figure out what that process is going to be and the amount that those will be offered for. So there will be more information coming in the next couple of weeks if that's something that you are interested at looking into, is that scholarship opportunity. I just see there is no need for kids to bring money to Nature's Classroom. There's nothing that they can buy. It is all provided for them. Meals, snacks, you know, water, drinks, the whole thing is once you pay that $300, I just want to make sure I say it right, $314, they are all set to go. Will teachers or anyone take pictures to send to parents? I think that we could probably arrange some pictures and group emails going out for our sixth grade parents. I think sometimes as parents, we miss them more than they miss us. So I think that is certainly something that we can work out, just to make sure that you see your student, you know, kind of in that space thriving. I think that that's a good feeling for parents. So I think we have a lot of chaperones that would be willing to snap a few pictures and then send out some emails. It might not be every day, but, you know, just a check-in, check-up. I think we can certainly make that happen. Absolutely. So I will find out who to make the checks out to. And I think that was our big outstanding question that I didn't have an answer to, but I will get that and we will send that out to you guys. Again, Caitlin. Yeah, I am super excited. I think I'm going to volunteer. I can't chaperone every day, but I am absolutely going to find myself out there in Nature's Classroom. I am super duper excited. Mr. Hayes too. I know he'll end up out there. Probably Miss Gleason too. So again, Caitlin put her email address into the chat. So email her anything Nature's Classroom specific. If there's any other questions, reach out to, you know, Mr. Hayes, myself, Ms. Gleason, Principal Hines, Mr. Giro, any of the team, and we will work hard to be able to get the answers that you need to feel comfortable sending your student, you know, away for 4 days. That's a parent comfort level. So we'll make sure that we try hard so that everybody feels comfortable when that bus rolls in on Tuesday morning and the kids are dying to climb on. So I think that that's all that we have. If nobody else has any other questions, then I think we're all set. We did record it. So hopefully we'll be able to post it on the website for parents that were not able to attend. That was a great suggestion that I did not think of prior to starting. So fantastic idea. And again, if you need anything, reach out to us. And I appreciate all the parents making time to figure out, you know, what this nature classroom looks like for your students. So thank you for your time. And we look forward to this experience for your students. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
No, thank you.